So the bags are packed, the itinerary is all set, and that countdown calendar has finally, hit zero. You're getting ready for that perfect trip, a Roman holiday, maybe a cruise, maybe hiking in the Dolomites. But have you spent even a single moment planning your defense?
And that is the essential overlord question. For this deep dive, we are really embarking on the systematic, proactive protocols for modern travel safety. Our primary source, the Travel Guardian Shield, it makes this powerful argument that your biggest threat isn't some random incident on a dark street.
No.
It's a sophisticated, digital architect who exploits your excitement, your anxiety, and just your fundamental human trust.
We're going way beyond just, keeping your wallet in your front pocket. Our mission today is surgical. We're extracting the actual methodology, the systematic checklist you need to defeat the threats that can ruin a trip before you even step on the plane. We're going after two big ones: phantom bookings and those targeted phishing attacks.
And to really set the stage for why this is all so critical, let's just look at the ultimate failure of trust. It's the story of John Miller and his family. They spent 6 months planning this grand vacation, a historic villa in Rome.
Dream trip.
The dream trip. They arrive tired, but, ecstatic at the address on Via del Corso, only to find that their dream villa was, well, it was a stained, heavily guarded government building, the villa that never was.
That story is just heartbreaking because the scam wasn't just about theft. It was, the systematic destruction of anticipation. He lost his $1,000 deposit, sure, but he also lost those 6 months of planning, of showing pictures to his family.
Yeah, that excitement.
Gone. And the property, it was believable. It was priced attractively, not suspiciously cheap, but, maybe 30% below market. And that's what hooks you.
That is the hallmark of the digital architect. They aren't running some, crude, misspelled website. They are creating these elaborate mirages built on what the source calls stolen legitimacy.
Stolen legitimacy. What does that mean exactly?
It means they steal everything. High-resolution photos, detailed floor plans, sometimes entire chunks of text and metadata from totally legitimate real estate listings or vacation rental sites. They create these pixel-perfect copies that fool your eye, and more importantly, they bypass our normal mental alarms for scams.
So if the photo is real, the description is real, and the price is tempting, how do you possibly expose the lie? The Travel Guardian Shield gives us the defense. The five-layer verification system? This isn't just a suggestion, it's a mandatory audit.
It really is.
Let's start with letter one, URL authentication.
You have to abandon all trust in links. I mean, never, ever click a link that came to you in an email, a text, a social media ad. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's from Booking.com or Expedia.
So what do you do instead?
You open a completely clean browser window and you manually type the company's name into a search engine. That manual step is crucial.
Why? Why so critical?
Because scammers rely on, correct, a legitimate company has to have a verifiable physical business address, not a PO box. You search that address on Google Maps. Does it take you to an office building or is it an empty lot? And crucially, call the customer service number. Call them during their posted business hours. If it goes straight to a personal voicemail where no one ever answers, that's a massive red flag.
And then we get to what the source calls the golden rule of booking, layer four, payment method analysis. This seems to be the simplest, most absolute defense.
This one is completely binary. It saves people every single day. Legitimate travel companies, without exception, always accept major credit cards. Visa, MasterCard, Amex.
The traceable ones.
Exactly. If at the final payment screen, the website or the agent demands something untraceable, a wire transfer, MoneyGram, Bitcoin, even Amazon gift cards, it is 100% guaranteed fraud. They demand those methods because once the money is sent, it's gone. Instantly untraceable, non-refundable.
The source mentions that Costa Rican paradise case. Everything looked perfect, reviews, photos of the infinity pool, the price, until the very last step, the only payment options were Bitcoin or Western Union.
And as one analyst in the source, Riley, noted, I'm pretty sure the toucans don't have crypto wallets. Legitimate businesses just don't operate that way. That payment screen is the ultimate lie detector.
And then finally, layer five is just external validation, independent research.
Right. Check sites like the Better Business Bureau, Trustpilot, but more importantly, use a WHOIS lookup tool. You can check the domain registration age. If a website claims to be a market leader, but their domain was registered 2 weeks ago, you know you're dealing with a scam.
So once you've secured the booking with the five-layer system, the threat doesn't just go away, it shifts.
It shifts. Absolutely. We move from this generalized fraud to highly targeted phishing attacks. We're calling it phishing while you pack. These criminal groups, they routinely buy or steal passenger manifests, reservation databases from data breaches. They have your name, your destination, your flight number, your exact departure date.
Wow. So this completely changes the game. This isn't random spam. This is targeted psychological warfare designed to catch you when you're most vulnerable. The source even identifies these specific vulnerability windows.
Exactly. They time the attack for maximum psychological impact, the primary window, 48 to 72 hours before you leave. Your excitement is peaked, but so is your anxiety about any last-minute problems.
Anything could go wrong.
Right. So an email saying there's a problem feels catastrophic. They also hit you hard on travel days when you're tired, disoriented, rushing through an airport, and critically, late at night, when your rational mind is just depleted.
And the attack uses this, what they call an emotional trigger matrix, to bypass rational thought. It's either fear or greed.
Fear is the most common. Your reservation has been canceled. Security alert, you know. Click here immediately to re-verify. Greed works too. Exclusive upgrade available for $49. Claim it in the next 15 minutes. They rely on that adrenaline spike caused by urgency.
Which brings us to the core defense protocol for these attacks, Sefuti. The 10-minute rule. I love the simplicity here.
Simplicity is absolutely key because complexity fails when you're under pressure. The rule is this. You never act on any urgent travel-related message immediately. Doesn't matter if it's an email, a text, you set 10-minute timer. You walk away from the screen, get a glass of water, and you let that adrenaline just subside.
And logic is just so sound. A real emergency, a real flight cancellation, it's still going to be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you deal with it with a clear head. A fake emergency just evaporates under a little bit of scrutiny.
We saw this with the story of Martha, the retired librarian. For 35 years, she taught university students how to evaluate sources. But she still fell for a fake site demanding passport verification. Why? She was 48 hours from her flight and terrified of losing her trip.
So her training just went out the window when emotion took over.
It did. She entered her login, passport number, credit card details, lost $2,400. The lesson is that intelligence is not enough to stop this kind of attack. The best defense isn't being smarter than the criminal, it's being systematic. The 10-minute rule would have been her circuit breaker, no matter how anxious she was.
Okay, so once we're actually in transit, the threat environment changes again. We're talking about device vulnerability. And this brings us back to Harold, who seems to be our recurring cautionary tale in the source material. Harold needed to charge his phone at the airport in Rome and plugged into a public USB station.
That was a catastrophic mistake. It's known as juice jacking. And this isn't science fiction. It's a real modern technique. We forget that a USB cable carries both power and data. So criminals will compromise these public charging stations by installing a chip that secretly installs malware or just copies your passwords and banking info right off your device while you think it's just charging.
So the defense is almost too simple. Carry your own portable battery. Or just use the wall outlet with your own plug.
Precisely. The wall outlet is safe. The USB port can be a conduit for danger. It's the same with public Wi-Fi. You have to be so careful of those fake networks, you know, Starbucks 8 guest or whatever. You must use a VPN, a virtual private network. Think of it like an armored car for your data.
Why is that so necessary?
Because on public Wi-Fi, your data is just out there, visible to anyone else on that network. A VPN encrypts everything your device sends out, making it completely unreadable. It turns the open airwaves into your own private, secure tunnel. And the last, non-negotiable step, enable remote wipe on every device. If your phone gets stolen, that remote wipe is your self-destruct button. The thief gets a hunk of plastic, not your digital life.
Okay, let's talk about the temporary home, the hotel room, the cruise cabin. Harold, in Barcelona, he requested a charming room with direct access to the garden. The source calls this his ground floor education, and it cost him $2,700 in stolen electronics. Why?
Because he left that charming ground level door unlocked when he stepped out. He valued the charm over the security protocol. Thieves just saw the opportunity and walked right in, and his travel insurance. They denied the claim instantly, cited his failure to exercise reasonable care.
Ouch. And what about a more controlled environment, like a nice hotel or a cruise ship?
You have to accept what the source calls the master key reality. Housekeeping, maintenance, security, multiple staff members have legitimate, authorized access to your room, and the in-room safe. That creates the safe paradox. It actually eliminates the need for a criminal to search. It just announces, hey, All the good stuff is concentrated right here in this one box.
That's a fascinating way to think about it. Margaret, the frequent traveler, she had a subtle test for this, didn't she?
She did. She was meticulous. She'd place her pearl necklace in the safe, but she'd note the exact orientation of the clasp. After a day trip, she came back and noticed the clasp was turned just slightly. It meant the safe had been opened, rifled through, and closed again, likely by someone with a master key.
Wow. So the defense here requires Eleanor's meticulous habits. She had the three-lock protocol.
Yes. When you check in, you engage every single lock. The electronic card lock, the deadbolt, and that often overlooked security chain or bar. Never rely on just one. And, critically, she always prepared her go bag.
The go bag. The crisis essential.
It's basically life insurance by the door. Every night. Passport, essential medication, some cash, key contact numbers, all in one bag, right by the door. That preparation turned a 2:30 a.m. fire alarm from a potential catastrophe into a managed retreat. She grabbed the bag and was out, safe and documented.
We're now moving to the highest level of threat.
Yeah.
Active confrontation, street smart defense. And the mindset here is the most important part.
It is. The absolute principle is prioritizing life over property. No question.
Let's talk about Arthur's Roman choice. He's walking through the Villa Borghese Gardens. Two men on a scooter block his path. One demands his camera, keeps his hand in his jacket pocket, implying a weapon.
Arthur's response was tactical intelligence. He complied immediately. No hesitation, no argument. He just handed over the camera. The principle is non-negotiable. You assume any implied weapon is real. You never try to prove otherwise. The ultimate golden rule is that your property is replaceable. Your health, your life. They are not. Compliance is survival.
And turning to nonviolent street threats, the source breaks down the pickpocket playbook. It's highly coordinated.
It's a team sport. You've got the spotter who picks the target, then the blocker who creates chaos, drops a map, spills some coins, stumbles into you. Just like Harold encountered in Los Ramblas. While you're distracted, the lifter makes the steal and immediately hands it off to the receiver who just vanishes. By the time you realize what's happened, your wallet is a block away.
So defense is all about positioning. Breaking that chain.
Exactly. Front pocket only for valuables. Bags crossbody in front of you, not on your back. If you're sitting at a cafe, loop a foot through the strap of your bag. You don't have to be impossible to rob. You just have to be harder to rob than the person next to you.
And finally, crisis management. When prevention fails, documentation is salvation. Eleanor couldn't prevent her heart attack in Athens, but her preparation was everything.
She was so meticulous. She had a laminated medical card translated into Greek that listed her medications, her allergies, her doctor's name. She had 247 contacts for her insurance, a pre-documented list of good hospitals nearby. Without that, navigating a foreign healthcare system during a crisis would have been a nightmare.
And Margaret's story in Venice, losing her purse, phone, and passport in St. Mark's Square, that really underscores the need for digital redundancy.
Her physical items were gone, but her recovery was swift. Why? Because she had layer 2 digital backup. Weeks before her trip, she'd taken photos of her passport, her visa, the front and back of her credit cards. She encrypted them and emailed them to herself. That 15 minutes of prep saved her from being stranded for days at an embassy with no proof of who she was.
So we've covered a lot. We've gone from the pre-trip audit, the 5-layer verification, through the psychological circuit breaker of the 10-minute rule into the physical security of the 3-lock protocol, and then finishing with that safety over property mindset.
And we've mentioned Harold a lot, our frequent victim, the target of the phantom booking, the juice jacking, the pickpocket scam. But the source material notes his redemption came in Barcelona. He saw the dropped coin scam being run on an elderly couple, and he immediately stepped in and warned them. His mistakes became their free education.
The difference between a victim and a guardian, then, isn't that you're never scammed. It's about learning from it, from the potential failure, and then installing these systematic protocols that turn that knowledge into active protection for yourself and for others.
And we want to leave you with this final thought. Travel anxiety is often just competence that's waiting to be deployed. The system is laid out for you. So the question is, what specific systematic protocol are you installing today, right now, to turn your travel anxiety into guardian competence? Is it creating that laminated medical card? Enabling remote wipe on your phone. The world is waiting, but it really needs you prepared.